She stopped by the church office to drop some things off. She had some clothes that didn't fit her any longer, some she just didn't like. She had some household items that she no longer wanted or needed. A friend had told her about this ministry that happened in this particular place, a ministry for the unhoused. It was the first time that she'd set foot on this property. And the office administrator hopped up from her desk, as she always did when somebody pulled up to drop something off, and met her and helped her unload everything and put it in the best place that she could possibly find at the moment. They exchanged, you know, the usual niceties, sort of like what I did here this morning with all of you. Hi, how are you? What's your first name? Knowing full well they're going to forget it. And then she turned as she was getting back into her car. You can see her open the door, have one foot inside, and then turn around and go, "Can I be baptized?" And then her life story began to spill out to a complete stranger. Turns out that she was raised in a different kind of church. She was raised in the Catholic Church. For reasons only known to God, neither she nor any of her siblings had ever been baptized. Now here she is in her late 70s, and before she dies, she wants to be baptized. Now I guess maybe we're wondering at this moment is, why now? Why now? Well, she's afraid. She's afraid that if she fails to be baptized, that God is not going to accept her. She fears that God will not, that God could not possibly love her. She fears God will turn her away from the kingdom of God. She fears she is not enough. Not enough to be loved by God because of choices made by people other than herself. In truth, knowing what I know, it is extremely unlikely that this beloved child of God had, or her mother, had anything to do with the reasons why she didn't get baptized. There are all kinds of roadblocks that we as the church have set up for people throughout our lives. I suspect that both the mother and the daughter thought that God didn't think they were enough. Not enough to be worthy of God's love. I just feel the tears forming in my eyes when I say those words out loud, that anybody would think that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a horrendous burden of shame for anyone to bear. And it is a bold-faced lie. Today's gospel makes us examine the whole idea of having enough or being enough. The poor disciples want to send away 10 to 20,000 people because they don't think that they have enough. Listen to the way they say this. "We have nothing except 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's hard for them to even grasp that they do have something. I'm sure that these disciples, I'm sure they were doing the very best that they could. I know that. Despite all the time that they've spent with Jesus, they saw themselves as inadequate, even in the presence of Jesus himself. Remarkable. Driven by the ways of the world, you and I, we can convince ourselves that we're supposed to be able to accomplish all of our goals, absolutely everything, on our own. Are you plagued by this? I am. We succeed in convincing ourselves that we alone can achieve great things. The tendency is to ignore or attempt to hide what we consider the failures of our lives. We blame and shame ourselves and others rather than learning that we are not on this life journey alone. This makes it so challenging for us to see ourselves and others through the loving and compassionate eyes of our God. For many, being enough seems totally out of our reach. Jesus, engulfed in his own deep sadness over the brutal murder of his good friend John, had gone off by himself to pray and to begin his own work of grief. You've probably been there in your life by now. Word got around where he was, and the crowd followed him. It's a story we've heard all throughout Matthew. The crowds follow him. Aware of their presence, Jesus sees them not as an invader or an intruder. He sees them as his own. He's not angry that his plans have been interrupted. Looking out, scanning the masses, he is filled with compassion. He acknowledges their basic needs, their basic humanity, and then he feeds them until they are completely full. Completely full. Now, some of those people, probably a lot of those people who were gathered there that day, had been hungry for a very long time. The important thing to know about feeding people, to feed them until they're full, is to declare that you are complete. You are complete. To name them as being enough. Enough. The daily news reminds us that human dignity is always under attack. Quality health care continues to be unavailable to many people, and their lives are needlessly at risk. Pregnant women are at risk in many places across this country due to government restrictions on life-saving healthcare treatments. Concentration camps, can you believe it? Are being built in our backyard. People are imprisoned unjustly. Life-preserving medications and procedures are simply too expensive for some people. And so they go without. And their quality of life is diminished. The stories we hear, the stories that we see involve real human beings. All created by the same God that created us. Jesus says to his disciples, give them something to eat. Restore their dignity. Elect legislatures who will make pregnancy safer, provide health care for everyone, restore due process, and stop the injustice of the concentration camps. Gather the masses and show them how I see them as being more than enough. Jesus' time with his disciples is shifting. We're about halfway through the book of Matthew. And it is time for them to jump in and be a part of the action of faith and life and love together. Standing on the sidelines, just watching Jesus and his compassion flowing abundantly down the mountainside isn't going to be enough anymore. It isn't going to cut it. It's time to get our hands dirty. So Jesus blesses a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread and places them in the hands of his disciples as if to say to them, you are enough. You know you have what it takes because I have given you exactly what you need. I have given you exactly what you need. you all are in a period of major transition in the life of any congregation. I don't know the circumstances of your previous pastor's departure. Don't need to. It's difficult no matter what was going on before they left. And it may feel at times like you don't have what it takes, that you don't have enough. This message, this text tells you exactly the opposite. You might have just a little bit, but the person next to you has a little bit, and the person next to that person has a little bit, so you have enough. You have enough to make it to the point where you're ready to call another pastor. As a former interim pastor, don't rush it. Take your time. Learn about yourselves. Learn about each other. Learn about the world. Learn about what God's calling you to be and do in the world that you live. It'll be time well spent. As for the woman who wants to be baptized, Jesus sees her with eyes of compassion. He looks at her and thinks, she's enough. She's enough whether she's baptized or not. That is not the key to receiving the love of God. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't walk around on the mountainside that day and go, hey, you got your baptismal card with you? Couldn't find mine if I wanted to. She's a disciple of Jesus. She brought gifts for people who needed them. To her, Jesus says, you count. You matter. You are beautiful. You are one of my beloved children, and you have always been and always will be enough, no matter what anybody else says to you. You are enough. Jesus, the giver, the one who hears our prayers and sees our suffering, has compassion for each and every one of us. He can take the little that we bring, a little bread, a couple fish, a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, a little bit of faith, and make it enough. The message of Jesus' compassion is such good news for us, because he specializes in taking what little we can contribute, even when we think we have nothing at all to give. Jesus makes it enough. Makes it enough. It is such good news to know Jesus, in his abundant love for us, takes whatever we offer. Whatever we offer, how great or how small it might be, and makes it enough. For the amazing grace-filled gift, we say thanks be to God. Amen.